Yeah, we back. What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Marshall Time. It's been a few weeks, bro, since we last hopped on and chopped it up. I think it was after the national championship game. It's been a busy few weeks for us with our schedules, but we back. The playoffs in full effect. Got a lot to talk about. First off, how you doing? What's going on with you?
I'm good, bro. I can't complain. You know, happy that, you know, the playoffs are underway. Yeah. You know, full swing's been some good matchups so far, first round. But you know, today we're gonna talk about some of the series that are actually over already.
Yeah, it's a couple in particular we definitely gotta get into. And I'm not surprised if you've been following our podcast journey and how I felt and how you felt about these franchises. We're not surprised. But first, you know, we tend to talk too much about the losing teams. You know, I'm not into losing culture and losers. So let's show love to the winners first, right? And particularly, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the same Minnesota Timberwolves team that nobody gave a chance to, if you asked the national media. I looked back, bro, and I looked on ESPN and their predictions. Let me pull it up, actually, just so I can just get this right. I believe almost every ESPN writer who covers the NBA picked the Lakers to win, and one brave soldier picked the Timberwolves. Now, it's okay to be wrong. We don't know what's going to happen. You have to play the games. But the level of disrespect is what I want to talk about first and foremost. Like, Anthony Edwards isn't the guy y'all were once saying was Michael Jordan. Like, Anthony Edwards isn't a guy that can take over, right? Like, this Minnesota team is not motivated to pay Luka back to what he did to them last year when he's with the Mavericks. A Minnesota team that has the playoff experience. And so I want to give credit for Minnesota. I want to give credit to Rudy Gobert, who, you know, I'm hard on Rudy. And deservedly so. But he was special last night. He played like a guy who knew the Lakers had no answer for him. Dominated the boards. He was aggressive. The main issue with Rudy is, yes, great defensively, but offensively, he hurts his team. He's not a presence out there. Yesterday, he was a presence. What was his final numbers? He had 20 and 20, right?
27 and 24.
Yeah. Like, he looked like a dominant all-star big man. If Rudy Gobert plays like that every night, that's a championship caliber team. That's like when I criticize Rudy and players like him, that's what I'm taught. That's what you need to be doing every single night. And so kudos for Minnesota for getting the job done. That's my praise. You want to talk about the praise for Minnesota?
Yeah.
First?
I mean, I want to give more praise to Julius Randle.
Yeah,
I feel like Rudy Gobert, he did his thing. I don't want to take that away from him, but, you know, they literally didn't have a big man out there. He's supposed to do that. He's not going to be doing that when these other seven-footers are going up against him. But, you know, he did what he needed to do. So I can't take that away from him. Mm-hmm. But Julius Randle is a guy who I've been hard on because, you know, I feel like in the playoffs he shrinks. Some of his decision-making, his shots he takes can be real questionable at times. But this whole series, he was consistent. He played how a number two option should. He was good on offense, good on defense. And, man, anytime he's seen Luka on him, anytime they seen Rui on him, Brian for that matter, barbecue chicken, posting you up, bumping you, getting to a spot, one, two dribbles, not doing too much. You know what I mean? Like, his shots was falling. He looked good. To me, that's their key for them. Because we seen they move Cat, and I was critical of that trade because I was like, I didn't see how either team really did anything, you know, because it's you're trading two players. Now, Randle's more tougher than Cat, so I can give him that. But if Randle could play like that consistently, they're really talking about, you know, contending for a chip because we seen what J.J. Redick had to do. He was like, yo, and we got to double team you. Let everybody else beat us. And what happened? They try to put a bigger body on Julius Randle, but Luka's too slow. He doesn't even try on defense. We're going to get to that, too. And I also got to give praise to Ant. Just off of the fact of how he's, like, started his career so young, But we've seen already that he's not afraid of the moment. And we talking about a guy when he came into the NBA, coming out of Georgia, a lot of scouts were questioning his love for the game because he had said something like he likes football more than basketball, but he's just better at basketball, so that's why he's going to the NBA. A lot of people, that they raised some red flags. But we fast forward a few years later, if you ask me, he has the most heart of any player because he's going at you. He don't care who it is. He's talking trash, whether they're down, whether they're up. You know what I mean? We don't see, especially in this era of players, a lot of these players, you know, they want to be friendly. Some of them are soft. Some of them get scared at the moment. Not in. He's a dog. He's going to let you know about it. And he's, you know what I mean? Like, and he don't care who it is. So I got to give him credit. I got to give him credit for that for sure. Shout out to Mike Conley too, man. Like, he was playing great defensively. Shout out to Dante. He was locking AR up. Man, Naz Reid.
Naz had a great series.
Yeah, listen. The Wolves, those young guys over there, man, they come to play. Like, they're not afraid of the moment. It's rare that you see teams like that, especially this young.
So, now we go to the losing side of things. I got a few things to say about that. First off, Minnesota will play the winner of the Rockets and Warriors, just to update you on how the bracket's shaking out. So, the teams that have moved on, the Thunder and the Timberwolves. Thunder will play the winner of Nuggets, Clippers. Timberwolves will play the winner of the Rockets and Warriors in the conference semifinals. Now to those Los Angeles Lakers. I got to put y'all on the grill. I got to let it sit a little bit. We're going to let this marinate a little bit. Let this be a lesson for those who follow basketball to not get fooled by a couple weeks of regular season basketball. Let this be a lesson that when a team is trying to sell you on Jackson Hayes as your starting center, they are not a serious contender. Let us be a reminder that if you're trying to say Jared Vanderbilt, Dorian Finney-Smith, these are guys that can be serious and elite role players, they are not serious contenders. Let this be a lesson that Austin Reeves is not that guy that you guys claim him to be. Really good player. Great college player. I love what he did in college. I love what he's been able to do as a guy that not many people had expectations for. Don't get it twisted. Austin Reeves is a really good player. But sometimes you tend, especially in certain markets, you tend to up certain. I think he got the LA stimulus package. Because he's playing for the Lakers, they tend to prop him up a little bit, right? Austin Reeves was terrible on both ends. Let's just put that out there. And so with the Lakers and the people who have covered this game nationally throughout the year, I get it. When they got Luka, it was an exciting time. We talked about it. It was a great move. I still think it's a great move. And I still, two things can be true. We'll talk about this later. Two things can be true. Luka can be horrible at defense, but it's still a bad trade for the Mavericks. Two things can be true. This is not a victory lap for Nico Harrison. Please. It's still a horrible trade for the next 10 years. So for those who are saying, was Nico right? No, he's still wrong yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's still wrong. The Lakers, on paper, have always been a flawed roster. There's a reason why I've never been able to get fully on board. They were just saying this team had a chance to make the conference championship and contend for a final spot. They were saying the Thunder should be afraid of the Lakers. Am I tripping?
They say that every year with the Lakers.
Wake up today and then it's just, oh, now it's a flawed roster. We got carried away. Well, no, you got carried away. You got caught up. You drank the LA Kool-Aid. That's what you did. Instead of really using your basketball brain, it's a simple game. It's not complicated. LeBron James is 40 years old. Why is he playing the entire? Why aren't you putting guys in and giving him a rest? Number one, JJ Redick. And you be careful, JJ, because, yes, you had a great career. You're a promising young coach. But the attitude that you're presenting at these press conferences, if you don't win, it's going to get tired quick. We've seen it. That's just how I see it. That's just how it's been. Luka Doncic, you knew what type of player that Luka is. Great offensive talent. But if he doesn't have the proper guys like a Derek Lively, a Daniel Gafford, Jackson Hayes is not them.
Oh,
that's why Dallas was so effective last year. And you had a Kyrie Irving. LeBron is not playing at a level as far as what Kyrie's able to do as far as breaking down the defense and putting pressure on the defense. LeBron is 40 years old. As great as he's still playing for a guy who's 40, he's 40. There's limitations. We see signs of him being 40. And so I hope people realize, look, the regular season is cute. Teams can go on their runs, but the playoff time is always where the spotlight comes and it exposes the weaknesses. It exposes what a team truly is. We're seeing it. We see it time and time again. The Lakers have always had a flawed roster, even with getting Luka. That's why they tried to get Mark Williams. They knew. Then they signed Alex Lynn. Jack, you know how horrible you have to be for Rudy Gobert to be dominating the way that he is, and for your coach to say, I still don't want to bring you in the game.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's six fouls that you can at least use on Rudy.
And 12 if you count Alex Lynn.
Yes. I'm not an NBA coach, so what do I know? I just watch the game. And so for me, it's just hilarious, and I'm not shocked at all that they lost this series. I'm not. Because if you just strictly hoops and basketball and common sense, this team was flawed, and they were never going to compete with the Thunder. Are you serious? They were gonna have ran out of here. That's all I got for the Lakers.
Yeah. I gotta start with Luka, man. I'm starting with Luka.
Yeah.
I'm a Luka fan, been a Luka fan. Came into the league killing off rip, right? But we talked about this in the finals, and we're talking about it again. If he doesn't buy in on defense, it's going to take a lot for him to win. The way the NBA is set up now, most teams are spacing it out, and it's a lot of ISO and it's a lot of mismatch, honey. Who's the mismatch? Luka. Mm-hmm. Slow. Then he's not even giving effort. It's one thing to be slow, you know. But with that being slow, you also have to know how to stay in front of your man, play angles, know your opponent's weaknesses, know their strengths. Draymond Green's not the fastest guy in the league. But he knows angles. He knows how to cut you off. He knows what you can do, what you can't do. He knows how to be physical with you. He gives effort. Luka, I don't know, bro. He's amazing on offense. He's amazing on offense. But how can I seriously, how can I take you serious as a superstar, right? That's supposed to be in the mix of the top five players of the future right now, whatever you want to say. And you're supposed to be winning, you're supposed to be a contender. But every time I turn on a game, the game plan is to attack you. You go down and hit a step back three just to give up a bucket right back. You just trading buckets. Mm-hmm. And that sets a message to the teammates, too. It's like, bro, you're not trying on defense. If anybody that ever played ball, bro, if you know somebody's not trying on defense on your team, you're going to be looking at them crazy, especially if you go out there giving 100%. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if he's the best player on the team, he's the star. You still got to play D, bro. We've seen it time and time again. James Harden ain't never won no ring. Why? Mm-hmm. Play just like Luka. It's real, bro. And I'm not going to say the thing about Nico was right in the fact that defense does win championships. It remains true to this day, right? Mm-hmm. We could talk about the fact that he didn't get the right package that we think he should have got. That's a whole different combo. But him deciding to trade Luka right now, I mean, he looks like he knows what he's talking about, right? Now, of course, we gonna say he got fleeced because he didn't get enough, because Luka is an amazing talent. But at the end of the day, bro, you gotta be able to guard, because teams is gonna, even if they got past the Wolves, what do you think the Thunder was going to do?
Nah, Cook.
Like SGA, Jalen Williams,
Cook,
Aaron Wiggins coming to game and cook you. I just don't. He got buy-in on defense, bro. That's really what it is, and it's sad because the fans, the media, they'll praise a guy like Luka, right? Mm-hmm. But then they'll talk down on a guy like JT. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me, JT's probably the most complete player in the league. Mm-hmm. Right? But Luka is it's flashier. He has, we see it. I get it. But you gotta really we gotta keep it a spade. A spade is a spade. You gotta really be honest. He's not playing D. Bron. This is the only thing I got to say about Brown, right? We know he's 40, but I don't want to hear when he does something amazing, oh, year 22, 23, can't whatever, both ways. He's 40. But when he's out here getting strapped, getting cooked, missing jumpers, oh, he's 40. What do you expect? Which one is it going to be? And if you ask me, Bron's still a top 10 player in the league, so I don't want to hear it. I just don't. Especially when you had home court advantage, right? Where were they, the third seed? Third seed, home court advantage. And you get 4-1? And you out here, like, Anthony Edwards talking crazy to you out here looking for the ref. You smiling in the game like I'm not getting fried. Like, I don't – I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. And if he's on his way out, then that's what it is. But don't – and then I don't like what he said after the game either. When he was like, I'm not going to speak on it because my boy AD got traded. Come on, Brian. For one, you know they're not trading.
That was crazy.
But Brian, you know they're not trading you.
That was crazy.
So you can say whatever you want. They're not trading you.
That was crazy.
And don't act like you didn't want Luka.
That was crazy.
Come on, man. What are we talking about?
Let's not act like there were championship expectations all of a sudden for you guys. We heard it. We're not making that up.
Right.
We're not making that up. And so for me, it's just, what do we talk about when teams make major moves at the deadline? Those teams usually don't go and win a championship if you don't have that chemistry. Like, it just don't happen like that.
Especially when the roster is
like Jackson Hayes. And people really felt like they said, oh, Jackson Hayes just starting big. We got Luka and LeBron and Austin Reeves. Jackson Hayes, all right, whatever. It'll work. It don't work like that. You can't skip these things. That five man is an important. That's important. And we saw it last night. Rudy Gobert showed you it's levels to this. Are you kidding me? It's the same Lakers culture for the past that I've been saying for the past couple years. The same things that I've seen from this team, I saw it throughout this series. The mental lapses, right? The lack of execution, the laziness. It's the same Lakers culture, the same Lakers team. And adding Luka to that did not solve all of your problems. It didn't.
It just looked crazy last night, too, because it looked like they didn't. Like, I was watching the Jeff Teague podcast, and they were talking about it didn't feel like an elimination game. It didn't. To me, it felt like they already gave up already.
It's the same Lakers squad that we've seen. That's not a championship. It's not a championship team. It hasn't been since they won, 2020?
Yeah.
Like, that was the peak of the LeBron era in L.A., 2020. That was it. Ever since then, it doesn't get any better. And it's not going to get any better. And so for the Lakers and Rob Pelinka, you know, number one, he doesn't get any credit for that Luka deal. To me, it doesn't take a genius to say yes to that deal. Do you trust Rob Pelinka to build the team that's needed around a Luka if you want to compete? Do you trust Rob Pelinka? Because I don't. He hasn't proven it to me to be this savvy GM of building a championship team. I'm not buying into it. I'm just not.
Nah.
And so that's what I'm looking at. For me, the Luka trade for the Lakers wasn't even about this year. It was about the next 10 years.
They weren't
going anywhere regardless. Regardless of what everybody else is saying, they were never a threat to the Thunder to me. They were never a threat. And it honestly is disrespectful to the Thunder and what they've done. Who they've been chilling for a minute now. When's the last time the Thunder played? We're going to talk about that narrative too, that, oh, nobody's scared of the Thunder. Well, nobody's scared of anybody in the league. Let's cut that out. These are grown men, pro ball players. They've played at the top of their game for years now. Nobody's scared of another team. Let's just cut that out. I hate that narrative.
I don't like everybody's trying to crown the Wolves now. Because they beat the Lakers?
No, that's not crown the Wolves. Relax.
Just trust me. No, trust me. I like what they have. They did good, but the Thunder is a different squad.
the Wolves got some flaws. The Wolves, they fall into the LA fitness trap too much. They got some LA fitness ball into them.
They ain't gonna lie. They shot terrible last night for the most part.
They tried to give away the game.
Yeah. And so if we're gonna be honest, if they end up playing Golden State, they can match up with them low key. You got Draymond for Julius Randle.
Yeah.
You got Jimmy for Ant.
Yeah.
Who's gonna guard Steph? Or like realistically, like all game. Yeah. They're not gonna have Ant chase him all game. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying Golden State to win, but it's not gonna be no walk in the park like it was with the Lakers. Right. You know what I mean? So I just don't like how everybody's trying to crown them early because they beat the Lakers, and that was your pick to win. So no, let's not do that.
You know, people got to be prisoner of the moment, right? And like, oh, you know, and now the Ant hype is increasing again now, right? Like, here we go again. Instead of letting these things play out and letting these players and teams go through their journey, it's a journey, right? Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they've been around for a while now, and they've had early exits in the playoffs. They just broke through last year, right? And so these teams, these players, they go through a journey. Sometimes it doesn't end up with a championship most of the time. It doesn't. It takes some time, right? And so I think this is OKC's year. I've been saying it from the beginning to now. OKC is going to represent the Western Conference. That is my pick. And I've seen nothing from these Western Conference playoffs to prove me otherwise. I think OKC is on a different level.
Yeah, I was about to say, they just look different.
They look different. They handle business against themselves.
They have to beat themselves for you to really beat them. Yeah,
or injuries, right? If SGA is injured, okay, obviously, right? Let's just moving to the Eastern Conference, where another perennial favorite got bounced out 4-1. The Milwaukee Bucks. So the story of this one to me is, I was watching the game and I stopped watching with 40 seconds left in overtime. The Bucks were up 118-111. I was like, "Oh, this game's over." Then I checked on my ESPN, John, and I saw the score, and it was a close game. Indiana was down by what, one? I said, "Wait, what happened?" Oh, Doc Rivers is coaching. I forgot. That's what happened. That's it. Tracks. Tyrese Halliburton, who they said was overrated, hits the game winner. Look them in the eye and call game. Go back home to Milwaukee, and they advance. So shout out to the Pacers for standing down, man. It was a lot of talking. It was a lot of energy throughout that series. I love this playoff energy that we've been getting, and Halliburton and Dame had their back and forth. But Indiana was the better basketball team. Let's just cut to the chase. Anytime a team is telling me that we're relying on Kyle Kuzma to play playoff basketball, that's when I got to tune you out. I'm not talking to like a savvy basketball person. When you're saying, okay, we're trading Chris Middleton, who has been crucial to our championship contending teams, and we're going to add Kyle Kuzma, who has been playing losing basketball for how long now?
Maybe for like 3 seasons, 4 seasons, maybe 5. I don't know.
You expect a player who's been playing in D.C., a team that's preparing for the lottery this year and next year, maybe the year after next, to come to your team and all of a sudden buy in and say, lock in, we're trying to win a championship. We got Giannis. We got Dane. We got Bobby Portis. We got Lopez. Serious ball players. At what point, I don't know if it was last game. It might have been the game before. He had a crazy lineup out there. It was Kevin Porter, Kuzma, AJ Green. Was it Ryan Rollins out there? It was a crazy lineup. And I said, you can't be like, once again, let's keep it simple to basketball. These are the guys that you're trying out there against a team in Indiana who have multiple guys who can go. Halliburton, Nembhard, Siakam, Miles Turner. Like, these are guys, like, this is a really good Indiana team. I can't take you serious. Am I surprised that the Pacers won? No, they're the better basketball team. Giannis is a great player, but there's limits to your roster, bro. And Doc Rivers is your head coach. So what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
The Bucks didn't have a chance.
They didn't have a chance. And it's for me, it's not even about Doc, bro. They had Torian Prince at the shooting guard.
This is like a bad team.
When you got Torian Prince starting at your two guard, bro, I don't even want to hear the rest.
It's and then nasty.
Dame, when he did play, he didn't shoot well. He never caught rhythm. I don't know what's up with Dame. He never caught rhythm this season. Hopefully he bounces back off of the injury. To me, it just seemed like he don't want to be there. But that's a bad excuse for him. He has to go play still. You're professional.
You're getting paid, bro.
But yeah, you're getting paid. I really don't know why him and Giannis didn't work. That should have been a duo that should have easily worked, bro. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. But I do know the rest of the team is sorry.
Sometimes it's just as simple as that. It's not confident. Yeah, bro. Your team is sorry.
Your team's just not good. Like, Giannis is a beast. We know that. But the reality is he's not good enough to overcome that type of roster. Nobody is. So, yeah, that's what it is. And shout out to the Pacers. Man, we're talking about a team that, got to the conference finals last year, handled business. So who are they playing? Are they playing the winner of the Knicks and Pistons? Or are they playing the Celtics?
No, they're playing the Cavaliers. That matchup's already set.
Okay.
I think that might be a fun series.
I think it's going – only reason I say it's going to be rough is just because Evan Mobley's been playing, at a different level this year. And if he keeps it up, I really don't see – because defensively he's going to make it hard on, Siakam. And,
sure.
So – but if he's doing his thing on offense too, it's kind of like – Now, I will say, Indiana, the thing about Indiana is they have a style of basketball that is good. It fits their team. And if they're hitting shots, they can stay around in games. They like to get up and down.
You never know. Siakam.
Mathurin, Nembhard. It's going to be interesting, but I just think
Cavs should win.
Cavs, the way they're constructed this year and the way their guys have been stepping up outside of D-Mitch, yeah. I don't see them really winning, but I could see them being in some games. I could see that at least.
They're the tougher matchup compared to what Milwaukee would bring.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Now, it brings me to my next conversation, which has been the big conversation, the future of Giannis, the future of the Bucks. I think for the Bucks, it's a complicated situation because Giannis, this is the player who you drafted, you developed, you saw him grow into a champion, an all-time great player, a Hall of Famer, one of the best players in the league consistently, a great leader. There's a business side of basketball. And the business side of basketball says Giannis keeps us in the conversation. We're selling these jerseys. We're selling these tickets. Without Giannis, we're just Milwaukee. We're just the Bucks. We're not in the conversation anymore. Basketball-wise, if we're talking logically, I think that championship run was as good as it's going to get. You swung for the fences getting Dame. That's in danger now because of the Achilles injury, and Dame is only getting older.
Yeah.
What do we know for basketball players, especially smaller guards, at a certain age? Steph Curry is the exception. So for Milwaukee, you're having a basketball versus business conversation. Are you willing to take the chance and calling up an OKC or whoever and say, what is your best package for Giannis? I need picks. I need young, promising players. Because right now your roster is void of any promising talent to develop. I'm just going to keep it a buck. All those guys can go.
Yeah.
Versus staying with Giannis, selling out seats, staying in the conversation. Because if you have Giannis in the Eastern Conference, conceivably you'll have a chance. You'll be in the conversation. But logically, with the Cavs, with the Celtics, if the Magic add on and get better, if the Pistons add on and get better, you're falling down on the hierarchy. And you just lost to Indiana. So we're talking about a team that's teetering into play-in territory. You were a fifth seed this year. Play-in is – if you're the seventh seed, you're in play-in. Are you going to waste your time and waste Giannis' time for the next 2, 3 years, 4 years and just do this dance of making the playoffs and that being good enough? Or – rip the Band-Aid off. Like, too many teams have denied it's time to do that. I'm looking at you, Portland, Wizards, John Wall, Bradley Beal, Philly, Joel Embiid, Chicago, DeRozan. LaVine? Are you going to do the same cycle and the mistake, same mistake? That's the question. I have my answer. I think it's time to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And look, man, like, it's going to hurt, but on the bright side, y'all, he brought y'all a ring. Y'all do got a ring to hang your head on. Never, nobody can take it away from you. But the reality is, it's not like you're going to really get somebody to come to Milwaukee. Like, because Giannis, this is the thing about Giannis, he doesn't strike me as like a, like, you know how, like, when Bron and D-Wade teamed up, like, you knew they were boys. Like, you knew that was a, who can I say Giannis is boys with around the league?
I don't know. I don't know. Really. He doesn't train with other players.
Yeah, like, he don't, you know what I mean? He don't strike me as a, yeah. You know, his guys is his brothers. Like,
yeah, yeah.
If you hit the fam, you can, you know what I mean? We out. Like, I don't really see, and that's even my question. Like, what team would he even go to? Like, you know what I mean? Because I don't see him really joining up to make a super team for that matter. But then again, he might look around and be like, bro, it's everything's changing around the league. I got to do something. But it's crazy. They were talking about Boston might be in line to get him, like, as far as the assets and the right trades and, you know, when that time comes. And I'm like, bro, that's going to be insane. But I don't even know if he would go there. You know what I mean? I don't know. Because Giannis is just, you know, he strikes me as a different type of guy than we see most of the time. But it's definitely time, man. Because, like you said, in reality – they're not going to get any better. They don't even have no draft picks, right?
I mean, they don't have anything they can hang. Like, I can see.
Yeah,
let's say if they had like a Min Thompson type player on the roster. Okay, that's like a piece we can develop. See what's going on.
Right.
If they had a Jared McCain, if they had a Brandon Miller, you know, just these young guys who are developing but have shown promise. Okay, this is a building block at least. We're not starting from scratch right here. You don't even have that. Like, who is their best young piece right now? Let me pull up the roster.
Kevin Porter, but he's not a young, like, I don't look at Kevin Porter as a young player. He's been in the game.
And Kevin Porter cannot be trusted. He's liable to crash out.
Yeah. Who is it? Is that AJ Green? Is that that's probably their best young talent? And he fresh off the G League. I mean, they baking like for a Jeremy Lin story for him. Like, that's what they baking on. Like, this is not
AJ Green. He's their best young player. He's 25, by the way. So he is who he is at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dark in Milwaukee.
And now you're stuck with Kyle Kuzma.
Now that's insane. Brooke Lopez is going to be out of there.
And you're still paying three coaches, right? That's another thing. Really? You played just like, remember that conversation we had on the show when they fired Griffin?
Oh, yeah.
And they hired Doc. You played yourself. You played yourself.
Yep.
So you got, is Bud on, is Budenholzer still on the payroll? I got to check that.
I'm looking at this roster. It wasn't AJ. Who's the other guy I'm thinking about?
There's Ryan Rollins, Andre Jackson, Pat Connaughton is probably their best young player. If we like, he didn't even play the other night, did he?
I don't think so.
Connaughton's 32.
Wait, yeah, he's old. He's old.
Oh dang,
Gary Trent, 26 years old. That's their best player.
He might be the because he.
No, they had so much. Who was the? Is he not on their team? Maybe he's on the Wizards now. They had who was the dark? Remember the black player? He had like a fro, skinny. But
you're talking about my guy AJ Johnson.
That's who I was thinking about. But he's
they
not
traded
on
him
there.
Away
he's
though.
Yeah, he's on the Wizards.
They
right?
traded him for Kyle Kuzma, bro.
Nah, that's insane. That's who I wasn't talking about AJ. Bro, I was talking about AJ Johnson. Yeah,
it's I like AJ Johnson. When they picked him, that's a nice savvy pick for the future. He shows some promise with the Wizards. When I tuned into their games. And you traded him for Kyle Kuzma.
Youngest player is Chris Livingston. No, Tyler.
You thought Kyle Kuzma was going to add that X factor energy to a championship contender. That's when I can't take you serious as an organization.
Yeah, this is terrible work. Like,
so for the Bucks, for me, sometimes you have a golden opportunity to start fresh. This is their chance. Giannis is still at the peak of his powers. He's not. He's far from washed. You can get a haul. This is your chance. Rather than You see where the Bulls are, right?
Yeah.
You see where the Blazers are, right? So you keep Giannis for the next few years. You get bounced in the first round every year.
Every time.
Giannis is 34, 35 on the, you know, he goes somewhere and wants to play somewhere else. What are you left with? So you wasted 5 years, whatever. It's going to hurt the fan base. I get it. It's going to hurt as an organization because Giannis has been the Bucks. he's been that guy for them. He's a face of the league, model citizen, right? Like he's the ideal franchise player. But you got to do yourself a favor and think logically. Think towards the future. We'll see. I think it wouldn't surprise me if he's back. It wouldn't shock me because I don't envision him demanding a trade, right?
No.
And it could be hard for ownership. You got like we had the ownership conversation. It's about making money at the end of the day. So if we're not winning a championship either way, we might as well make money while we're not winning championships anyway, right? This is how these owners are going to think. So instead of the possibility of 4 years of just low attendance and no national TV games and just trash energy, let's just keep Giannis around. Let's just keep our fans around because we got seats to fill. We got money to make. So for the Bucks, if Giannis comes back next season, they made a business decision.
Definitely.
That's how I see it. They didn't make a basketball decision.
Unless Giannis just said himself he wants to stay.
Yeah, if Giannis says that, then okay, cool. By all means, you know. But if Giannis's energy is like, I just want you guys to do whatever it takes to build a winner around me.
Right. Well, bro,
I want you guys to do what's best for the franchise. If he's on that time, to me, the Bucks, you're open for business.
Right.
If he's not committal either way, because a non-committal is sort of an answer, right? If a player is asked, do you want to come back here next year? If a player is like, I'm not ready to answer that question, I'll talk to my agents, my family. A non-committal is sort of a committal in a sense. Right. That's just, yeah. That's just a life tip for you listening. But we're going to see. Have your entering the playoffs, I thought it would be the Thunder and Celtics in the finals so far. My opinion hasn't changed. It's changed slightly because of the Celtics, their injury issues. Jrue Holiday has been out against the Magic. They won that series, but he's been out. Jason Tatum's dealing with the wrist injury. He's hooping through it, though. And Jaylen Brown's dealing with, like, knee injury. I think he has, like, a dislocated finger. He's going through it. Mm-hmm. So the health of the Celtics kind of gives me pause. But I'm going to stick with my original, you know, pick of the Celtics and Thunder making the finals. Has anything changed for you?
No, nothing's changed for me. As far as the Celtics' health, it's definitely a real concern. But they're gonna get through these series. Like, they just got through the Magic, so they're gonna have some time to rest. If they play the Pistons or the Knicks, I think they'll get out of there in six, maybe five, because they really was cooking them in the regular season too. Pistons, that could be five or I ain't gonna lie to you. Even back when the Pistons was trash, they always played the Celtics tough for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But they probably get them out of there in five too. Just off of this, it's the fact it's the playoffs. They probably get them out of there in five. So they had to go through some grueling, like they had to play the Cavs this round and it was like, war. They're most likely they're going to get out of there in five. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's their key.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the next round. It's that round after, possibly the Cavaliers. But I don't think they'll have trouble with the Knicks or Pistons.
Yeah.
I think the Pistons they've been hooping this year, but I think Boston's on another level. Boston's not not New York.
I mean, the Pistons just went on a crazy run. I'm watching it right now. They up five now.
The Knicks, I, I can't take them serious. I don't think they've beaten the Thunder, Cavs, or Celtics all year.
Nah, they haven't beaten.
So until you show me you can beat an elite team, I can't believe in you. I just can't. And then, you know, you're a team that was so hyped up. You got Cat, you got OG, Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges. This is a Pistons team on paper, talent-wise, doesn't match up. Experience-wise, doesn't match up.
They playing off of grit and energy.
Tobias Harris getting his game off on y'all.
Shout out to Tobias.
You know how
man.
I feel about Tobias.
Shout out to and Tobias. No,
For Sixers fans, I do not miss Tobias Harris as a Sixer. Congratulations. I'm happy that you're doing what you're doing in Detroit. But you wouldn't have made a difference for this team.
Sixers fans, you gotta understand Tobias, he doesn't work well as a third option. And on this team, well, yeah, because he would still be the third option because we wouldn't have PJ. He doesn't work well as a third option. And playing in Detroit is different than playing in Philly.
It's high stakes. It's high stakes in Philly. Yeah. He doesn't work well in high stakes, right?
Yeah.
He just doesn't. And that's okay. But he's doing his thing. And he's playing his role in Detroit. This is the perfect role. He was never meant to be a guy that you have to, like, Tobias, we need this from you. No. And Detroit is like, Tobias, go out there, play your role, be a good vet. That's it. Focus on your game. Play your game.
Yeah, that's no what I'm about to say. They actually let him play these games. They get him to his spots. They don't have him just sitting in the corner. He knows his role every night. With us, we're not a functional franchise, so we can't have players that are inconsistent. It's just not. Yeah. It's not what's going on.
It's a city that demands excellence on a nightly basis. It's a city that sees a guy making $180 million. We expect a guy to produce. I think that's only right.
Yeah.
So, no, but he's doing his thing. He's doing what he's supposed to do in Detroit, and he's having a positive impact on that team because they're pushing the Knicks to the brink as of right now. They could tie that series up, right? Which I think I want to see a seven-game series between this team.
Yeah, I want two seven-game games.
It'll be lit. But I think the Celtics can take care of both these teams in five games. This is a different switch, a different level that these teams can't match with Boston. They just can't. We've seen it time and time again. That was a fun conversation. We'll see how the rest of these first round series go. I'm hoping we see seven games in Denver with the Clippers. I hope we see seven games with Houston and Golden State. Yeah, I just want to see seven games the rest of the way because Celtics took care of the Magic, Pacers took care of the Bucks, T-Wolves took care of the Lakers, and the Thunder took care of the Grizzlies. Can we get like at least one seven gamer? I need one.
Nah, we won't get one. It's two game sixes tonight. One of them has to go seven.
We might get it. Yeah.
For the NBA, for they money, they need both of them to go seven.
We might get it. But thank y'all for listening and watching. Don't forget Apple Podcasts, YouTube. You can watch us. We got the visuals for y'all. Share, like, subscribe. We appreciate you guys joining us on this playoff journey. We got a long way to go. This thing goes through June. Plus, we got the lottery. I'm excited about the lottery. That's a big night for Sixers fans, too. Uh-huh. And all you fellow losing franchises, we're excited to see who wins the Cooper Flag sweepstakes that can change your fortunes. We'll see. I'm excited to talk about that as well. But thank you guys for watching. Enjoy these playoff games, and we'll see y'all next time.
All right. Peace out.